Proverbs 23 and verse 7, and I'll be in Philippians 4 and verse 8. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, dominion begins upstairs. That's the series that I started with the help of the Holy Spirit 3 Sundays ago. Proverbs 23 and verse 7, and we're also going to be in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. I would implore everyone to please make sure that you pay attention. You will not pay money to hear this message. I tell you, I'm not going to charge you for hearing it. Hear it for free, but there is something you will pay. It is called attention. Please pay attention. This is very important because it is not just relevant for now. It is relevant for many, many years to come. This word will transform your life. It's about the power of our thoughts, how we think. Because everything starts with a thought. Every great enterprise you see today started yesterday with a thought. It started as a thought on somebody's mind. Every great destruction that has also happened in this world started in the mind of someone as a thought. As a thought. There was a man called Adolf Hitler back in the day in Germany who decided to wipe out the Jews, the entire Jewish nation. And that terrible phenomenon was called the Holocaust. You can Google that when you get home. The Holocaust. It started as a thought. It was a thought in the mind of one man. And it led to the destruction of so many people, so many families. Just one thought. That's the power of a thought. And you see, a thought can destroy lives. A thought can also bless lives. That we are able to speak this morning with the aid of the microphone started as a thought in the mind of someone. How can we be a blessing to our world? That we have electricity today. Many thanks to Thomas Edison, Benjamin Franklin, and the other people that were involved in that invention, that innovation. And so many other things that are blessing our world today. Many of us carry iPads and iPhones and Android and whatever you carry around today. And you can communicate with anybody in any part of the world. It wasn't always like that. It wasn't like that 20 years ago. It wasn't like that 45 years ago. It wasn't like that 70 years ago. There were days back in the day when you had to travel from Ibadan to Abuja to go and look for an uncle and you might not meet him at home. I was there, 1997 December. It was just by the mercy of God, I met my uncle on the street. I arrived at Abuja at about 8 p.m. I would have slept on the street that night because I didn't have a mobile phone. He didn't have a mobile phone. But today, you don't have to take that kind of risk. You sort everything out on the mobile phone before you move. There are so many things you can do on your mobile phone. It can serve even as your PA. Your mobile phone can serve as your PA. It can schedule your meetings. You can have your interviews. You can have your presentations all in one place on a mobile device. It wasn't always like that. But all of these things that we enjoy today started as thoughts in the minds of some people yesterday. What kind of thoughts? What kind of thoughts are you entertaining in your mind today? It will determine the quality of the life you are going to live tomorrow. That's how powerful your thoughts are. That's how powerful your thoughts are. And thoughts can be inspired by the Holy Spirit. Also, thoughts can be inspired by demonic spirits. And this is why we need to be very careful the gateways that we expose ourselves to. Be very careful who influencers are on social media. Be careful, because every influencer is being influenced also by some kind of spirit, whether it's the Holy Spirit or a demonic spirit, that we don't know. So be careful who influences you. Be careful who you follow, because the company you keep will determine what accompanies you. When it comes to the subject of dominion, which is the word God gave us for this year, dominion begins from here. It starts from upstairs. Can I have an amen? Proverbs 23 and verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart. I'd like us to read together. 1, 2, go. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Can I have an amen to that? He said, just the way you think, that's the way you're going to be. That's where your life is going to turn out. As you think. So therefore, it is important for you to pay attention to how you think and to what you think. Don't assume that what you think does not matter. It does matter. What you think is very important. And I dare say that one of the part of the mission of our Lord Jesus Christ when he came to this world to walk this earth physically was to help change the mindset of the people. The people had the Adamic, the fallen nature kind of mindset. And he needed to get them to think the way God wanted them to think so that they could embrace the kingdom mindset and be all that God wanted them to be. You cannot help a people unless you change how they think. And you cannot capture a people unless you are able to capture their thoughts. Anybody that has your soul has your life. Anybody that captivates and captures your mind has you. You are in church this morning, not because you were forced to come to church. You are in church this morning wearing what you're wearing, acting the way you're acting, because you made up your mind to be in church. The best that the church could do was to invite you to come. The best your parents could do was to advise you to let us go to the house of the Lord, like David said. But you came because you made up your mind. You made up your mind to be here. You made up your mind. That's how powerful your mind is. And little wonder, Satan is always trying to possess our mind. He's trying to possess our thoughts. Because if he can possess our thoughts and possess our minds, then he can get us to do whatever he wants us to do. Whatever direction he wants us to go. If he wants us to lie, it starts as a thought. Now, tell a lie. Don't tell the truth, tell a lie. It's a thought. And guess what? You can kill that thought or you can entertain it and make it see the light of day. You can open up your mouth and say, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to lie. I am not going to lie. Even though I may be punished for telling the truth, but I choose to not lie. And you will not lie. So it depends on what you do with your thoughts. And so many of these thoughts are coming to our minds every day, every moment. As you are looking at me this morning, some of you are just looking at me physically. Your minds are not here. So I call back your mind in the name of Jesus so that you can benefit from this message and you will benefit from it in the name of Jesus. It's amazing. You can be praying and your mind is not there. Little wonder David said in Psalm 16 and verse 8, David said, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. It is possible to be in the place of prayer and not set the Lord before you. Your mouth can be speaking in tongues. And your mind is on, oh God, don't let Arsenal lose this match tonight. Oh Lord, Arsenal must not lose. It's not nice, Lord. You know, the last season, it was terrible. Don't let us have another terrible season this time. Just have mercy upon Arsenal. And you are in church, we're praying to open the service. And everybody looks at you and says, oh, brother Ayo, what a fervent brother in the place of prayer. Oh, shadapahaya, andastapa. And your mind is at home. Lord, I forgot to lock my room. Oh, God. And that my brother likes beans. Oh, God, don't let him see my beans. Holy Ghost, don't let him see my beans. And you're in church. Do you know that you can be here, Mokola Ibadan, Nigeria, and right now, on your mind, you are walking on the streets of New York in the United States. Only God knows how many times I have traveled abroad before I traveled abroad. In fact, your mind is so powerful that you can take it to the subconscious level. In your sleep, you find yourself in London and you are probably eating burger. And you have never been to the airport, but in the sleep, your mind is still active. Can we channel all of that? Can we channel it and bring it to the Word of God and form images based on the promises of God concerning our lives? That we are loved, that we are blessed, that we are highly favored, that we carry God on the inside of us, that wherever we go, the presence of God is there. Can I have an amen to that? Your mind is powerful. Everything starts with a thought. And so I began to share with the expressionals, and thank God the Potter's Planet is there, because everybody needs this. We all need this. And when the devil comes in the dead of the night to give you thoughts, your parents are not aware. Parents are sleeping, and you can't blame them. You can't blame them. They have to sleep. And then thoughts have been incubated in the mind. That was why Jesus, when he came, one of the key things
that Jesus did was that he taught. He did what? He did what?
Now, in the expression house, when I tell them to say something, they say it. So, we are all in the expression house. Jesus did what? T-A-U-G-H-T. He taught. He was a teacher. Many times in the Bible, you would see them address him as Rabbi. Rabbi simply means teacher. Why was he teaching? Number one, I said it 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Number one, to get the kingdom mindset to as many people as will be open to it. He shared with them the mindset of the kingdom of God. That look, you guys are not supposed to be living like this. This is the way God wants you to live. In the kingdom of God, there is no sickness. Why are you sick? Sick man, be healed. He went to the blind. Blind man, let your eyes be open. Now, receive your sight. He raised the dead. He was showing them the way things happen in the kingdom of God. That in that kingdom, there are no hospitals because there are no sick people there. So he taught them. It was a primary thing in the ministry of Jesus. Jesus wasn't just a miracle worker, going everywhere, going to UCH, raising the dead. No, 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 no. He taught. And I'm going to show you that from the Bible today. Number two, why was he always teaching? Number two, to enjoy God's best, you have to take up his thoughts. Jesus knew that for these people to enjoy God's plan, God's best for their lives, they needed to take up the thoughts of God. The thoughts of God. There are thoughts that are thoughts of God. There are thoughts that are thoughts of Satan. The thoughts of God are always loaded with peace. The thoughts of Satan are always the opposite. The thoughts of God are thoughts of life, righteousness. The thoughts of Satan are always the opposite. Any thought encouraging you to lie, to steal, to kill, to destroy, to disrespect your parents, to dishonor them, dishonor the church, is from Satan, not from God. Satan is the very embodiment of disrespect. When you see Satan, you see disrespect. He started it. God didn't create dishonor. Satan started it. Isaiah chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. You find him there. I'm going to exalt my throne. I'm going to exalt my star above that of the Almighty. And I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to ascend to the heavens. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I will exalt myself. I will promote myself. And God said, you lie. Get down. Today, out of here. Disrespect. So thoughts of disrespect. Never from God. Never from the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell my mom off. I'm going to tell her off. I'm not a small girl. I'm in the university. I'm in 200 level, for crying out loud. I'm 19. If not for the way things happen in Nigeria, I should have graduated by now. How can she be talking to me like that? Thoughts of disrespect. Every time those thoughts come, now listen, they will come. Those thoughts will come. All right? No matter how pious, no matter how holy you are, those thoughts will come at some point or the other. But you know what to do? You cast them down. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, you bring them into captivity. You bring thoughts into captivity. Because those thoughts will come. The thought to fornicate will come. The thought to steal will come. The thought to just, look, I just want to be in my space. I don't want to talk to anybody. To be a troglodyte, a solitudinarian will come. The thought to cheat in exam because you didn't prepare well will come. Thoughts will come. You can't stop thoughts from coming. Like you can't stop birds from flying across your head. But if a bird now chooses to step on your head and perch there and build a nest, then you have every right to hold it by the leg and break the legs. Am I making sense? Am I making sense, church? So thoughts will come, but it's your choice whether you want to entertain the thought or not. Are you with me, church? So Jesus needed to get it across to the people that, look, for you to enjoy God's best, you need to take up God's thoughts. Jeremiah 29, 11, God said, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord. Who said that? Okay, one person came to church. Who said that? What did he say? What did the Lord say? Anybody sleeping around you, help me pinch them on their thigh and say, wake up, it's not time to sleep. What did the Lord say? I know what? For I know the what?
The thoughts.
He didn't even say the words. He said the thoughts. We are big when it comes to words, words, words. But how many of us know that before words are thoughts? Let me make a statement. If you change your thoughts, you will change your life. I don't care who you are. If you can change, deliberately change your thoughts from this morning. If you can start to be intentional about the thoughts you entertain, you can change and you will change and you will transform your life. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. Romans 12:2 tells us that. You want to transform your life. This is how you are. Broke, battered, sickly, discouraged, depressed. Maybe that's your situation right now. Maybe that describes you. But you want to be transformed into blessed, highly favored, healthy, accepted in the beloved, marvelously helped by God. The journey from point A to point B is the renewing of your mind and the changing of your thoughts. There is no way your mind is being renewed that your thoughts will not be changing, because now you are dropping the thoughts of Satan and hell and you are picking up the thoughts of God to stay on your mind and you meditate on them. Are you with me, church? Are you with me, church? Let me give you one or two scenarios in the Bible and then I'll go to my next point and that'll be it for today. Last week I showed us Matthew 15 from verse 1 to 20. We're not going to go there. I just want to make reference to it. The people were so much concerned. The people of the day when Jesus came in his physical ministry, in his earthly ministry, they were so concerned about the traditions of the elders. The traditions. Like when you go to a feast, you need to wash your hands before you eat, wash your clothes and all of that, all of the washing. You don't eat with your bare hands and stuff like that. You don't combine certain colors. You don't combine certain fabrics. Those were the things they were concerned with. You don't work on the Sabbath day. But when Jesus came, he came to introduce the kingdom of God. And in Matthew 15, from verse 1 to 20, you can read that when you get home. Write it down. Read it when you get home. He rebuked them and showed them the kingdom of God. All right? Now, Jesus said to them in that chapter, that Matthew 15, 1 to 20, he said, the things, listen everybody, listen. The things that go into a man are not the things that corrupt or defile a man, a person. What goes into your mouth? Even if you eat bad food does not make you a corrupt person. All right? So not washing hands before eating is not what corrupts you. Jesus said, what corrupts a man, what defiles a man, are the things that come out of the man. So the people did not understand that. The apostles also now came to ask him privately and said, Lord, what do you mean by what you said? So then he said to them, I'm just paraphrasing that chapter. He said, don't you know that out of the heart, now the heart is not really this one pumping blood. When the Bible says the heart, it's talking about your spirit, your innermost self, the innermost part of you, your spirit man. He said, out of that place proceed thoughts. And some of those thoughts are really bad. It is those thoughts that actually defile a person. It is those thoughts that corrupt a person. He said, for example, it is out of the heart that a man thinks of committing adultery. You see a woman, you say, oh my God. Oh my God. Where has this one been all these years? Oh my God. In your mind, you have already undressed her. And you have enjoyed yourself with her. Jesus said, you have already committed the sin, even though you have not performed the physical act. There are some, and I pray for young men, because young men have a lot of problems. A lot of issues, because I'm a young man myself. The way men are wired, we're wired by what we see. We are moved by what we see. We see. In fact, Job saw, he shouted in the Bible. He said, I made a covenant with my eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Because there is a connection between your mind and what you see. In fact, can I shock you, everybody? You see with your mind. Oh, yeah. Oh, no, Pastor Fred, I see with my eyes. I know your eyes are the gateway, but you actually see with your mind. Very simple experiment. Does anybody here know what a black dog looks like? Anybody? You know a black dog? Now, imagine that dog is big. So it's a big black dog. Can you see it already in your mind? This big black dog is very hairy from its head even down to its feet. Can you see it already in your mind? One more feature, it has a very long tail. The final feature, the eyes are red. If I ask you to draw that now, can you draw it out? Yes, you can. I didn't bring a dog to this church. I just described it and your mind came up with the picture. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's the beauty of architecture. You see, architects have a very sound mind. When they sit down like this, they say, I don't like the way this building is looking. We can turn this around. Our father in the Lord, Pastor Alex Adebo, is an architect. I hope you know. This pulpit was never always here. This pulpit, when I joined this church, the pulpit was there. Where those guys are sitting over there. That was where the pulpit was. So we'll come into church and sit down. Everybody facing that direction. One day, the man woke up and had a different idea and remodeled the church. So don't be surprised. In another 5 years, if you come and the pulpit is no longer here, it's now in the middle. Architects have a sound mind. But hey, not only architects have a sound mind. Every child of God has a sound mind. Can I have an amen? 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. Can you look it up? I can quote it. 2 Timothy 1 7. Write it down. 2 Timothy 1 7. And bless yourself with this. He said, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love. Number 3. And of what? Somebody say, have a sound mind. That's why your mind can picture things. You hear. You see with your mind. You just saw a black dog now. Where's the dog? Nowhere, but you saw it. And it was so real to you, the way I described it. Have you ever seen a very huge airplane before? Airplane. Boeing 747. In real life, you might not have seen it before, but you've seen it in movies. Your mind has a picture of what an airplane looks like. Am I right about that? Your mind. Can we imagine using this mind to meditate the word of God, the promises of God for us, regardless of what the world is telling us? The world looks at you and says, you're a bastard. The world looks at you and says, you're a nobody. You're a nonentity. You can't be a medical doctor. You can't amount to anything in life. They can tell you that in the world, but hey, you come to the word. This is what you believe, what the word tells you. The word says you are the head and not the tail. Is that you? 3 people said, yes, sir. Is that you?
Yes, sir.
He said, you are a success and not a failure. Is that you? He says you are blessed and highly favored. Is that you?
Yes,
he said you are healthy and blessed and healed. Is that you?
Yes,
he says you are forgiven and you are set free. Is that you?
Yes,
he says you are no longer a slave to fear. Is that you?
Yes,
so this is where you spend your time. Get this into your head. Get it into your spirit. Get it into your thoughts. And then get it into your words. And then get it into your actions. And you are going to be successful. No devil in hell can stop a child of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? Doesn't matter where you come from. Oh, my dad is not educated. My mom. Shut up. You are now a child of the Most High God. You are set up for dominion. But dominion begins upstairs. Have you been blessed? If I stop there, I know you have been blessed already. But I need to make one more point. I feed them fat here. So after service, you see, especially as people are fat. They may be small physically, but spiritually they are fat. We feed fat. It's word binge. Glory be to God. I said glory be to God. I'll move on very quickly. Oh. Jesus said, out of the heart proceeds all these evil thoughts. And those thoughts defile people. They spoil people. They corrupt people. When you start thinking of how to steal something that doesn't belong to you, it corrupts you. It corrupts you. See, that girl is a thief. Nobody wants to be the friend of a thief. Was she born a thief? Yes or no? Have you ever seen a newborn baby born from heaven, branded thief? No. What happened to them along the line? As they began to grow, they began to get exposed to thoughts. Thoughts from the environment, thoughts from the internet, thoughts from friends in school, thoughts from the neighbors. And they came up with the smart idea, if I steal and I'm not caught, I can enjoy whatever I steal. And they graduate from there and they start using the internet to scam people, amassing wealth. They are corrupt. They are corrupt. These things started as thoughts. They always start as thoughts. But if you stop the thoughts, the action will never see the light of day. Nobody is born a thief. Nobody is born an adulterer. Adultery is from the heart also. Like I said earlier, you think and think. And when you get into adultery, it adulterates you. You know what it means to be adulterated? You are no longer original. You have now been mixed. You know, during the fuel crisis that we've seen a couple of times in Nigeria, even the youngest person here already knows what fuel crisis is. Lord, deliver Nigeria. I said, Lord, deliver Nigeria. Usually we buy fuel, PMS, at the filling stations. But when there is a crisis, we buy from the Hausa boys down the street who sell adulterated fuel. If you look at what they sell, you can see the discoloration. You can see it's lighter than what we usually buy at the fuel station. It's been adulterated. It's been mixed with water. Some people adulterate even palm oil. Just because they want to make more profit, they want to increase the volume. May God deliver Nigeria. Amen. So many things have been adulterated. They've been tampered with. Adultery adulterates a person. It will adulterate your ability to think straight. You may be a preacher of the word of God. Your preaching will not be balanced. It will be out of context. It will be out of control. You will be saying things that you can't prove. That's why you see, be careful, those of you going to the university and those of you who are in the university, there is the popular message of hyper grace on campuses in Nigeria. They tell you, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you've done, once you are saved, you are forever saved. Glory be to God. You can be on your way to hell. Having said one time, a prayer of salvation does not mean you are going to make it to heaven if you don't keep walking by faith. At what point do they run out of grace? I don't know. But you don't want to find out. You don't want to experiment it. Don't joke with sin, young people. Don't mess around your life with sin. A lot of you young people trying to kiss. It's just a kiss. Let us kiss and see how it feels. Hey! Don't mess up your life. Sin is so serious. God sent his only son to die for it. To redeem us from the power of it. Don't go back there and start toying with it. It will adulterate you. It will just mess you up. Ephraim is a cake, not mixed. Ephraim has mixed himself up with the people. Hosea chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. Don't be like Ephraim, half-baked. Young ladies, focus. Focus. Focus on your future. Young men, focus on your future. When you become successful in future, everybody wants to deal with you. Everybody wants to be your friend. They will say, he was the partner of the neighbor in my church that used to sit in front of the back of my friend. In fact, he's my best friend. Because you are successful. How many people want to associate with the failure? You know, we are the gangsters, we are the big boys. Whatever we say is what stands. You get what I'm saying? And then you are a bully in school. Let me tell you. Those who were bullies back in the day, what are they doing now? They are begging us for urgent 2K. Because when we were reading and focusing on the future, they were focusing on the present. It all starts here, upstairs. The aunties that were the beautiful ladies in Mokola back in the day when we were growing up, and they were dating all the footballers, the big boys, and they would bring SUV, Jeep, nice cars to our street, and everybody would be looking, hey! My father only had a Vespa. He didn't have a car. My father didn't have a car, he had a Vespa. So if a Mercedes-Benz should come to the neighborhood, everybody comes out, man, oh my man. And then those, our aunties, our neighbors, they will step out of the car and everybody will be envying them. Today, they are not even married. Many of them. Children out of wedlock. One child for one father, another child for another father, another child for another father, another child for another. What kind of life is that? So when each of the children is getting married, there are different fathers. It starts now. Are you getting what I'm saying? If that is the kind of background you come from, the redeeming grace of Jesus will redeem you. Can I have an amen? Amen. But you got to make up your mind. I am not going to follow that path. Are you with me? My life is going to be better than that of my parents. I preached a message years ago. Don't repeat the mistakes of your parents. It all starts here. All those Mercedes that they are using to freak them back then, those Mercedes now have become like a curse. If they give you now as a gift, you throw it away. No matter how much money I have, I won't go to a Mercedes shop to buy a V-boot now. V-boot for what? They say padded. You guys don't know what I'm talking about. Do you know Baby Benz? You don't even know Baby Benz. This generation. Baby Benz. Benz 190. You don't know it. Do you know Shagari Benz? No, you don't know it. Because those things are now archaic. They are now obsolete. They are now outdated. They are now antiquated. So nobody wants them now. Everybody's talking something. We're talking something that is trending. What am I saying? If you live your life for the present, those things will still be old school someday. They will not be fashionable anymore. They took some people's virginity because of Nokia 3310. Nokia 3310. Ta-da-da-da, 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 town. And they town them. They started with ta-da-da-da, 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 and then they now finally town them. And when they town them, they have been towned. If anybody gives you a Nokia 3310 as a birthday gift now, will you say thank you? You can't even use it. The phone is so dull. It's not a smartphone. It's so dull. You can't even WhatsApp. Can't even WhatsApp. Can't do FaceTime. Can't do video calls. Can't send an email. It doesn't have the capacity to receive an email. Don't mortgage your future because of things that are ephemeral. These things will pass. They will become old school. Are you with me, church? Those hyper-grace people are hiding something. When people are justifying sin, it's because they have something in their lives that they're hiding. It will soon come out in Jesus' name. Amen. It will come out. To come out. If you have any struggle in your life, please own up. Young people, I know sometimes you have struggles. Maybe you're watching pornography and you can't tell your parents and you know this is wrong. Go to your pastor, open up. Go to your teachers and open up and say, please help me. Go to somebody and open up. Somebody that can help you. Someone that is more spiritual than you are. Not someone who is already a pro max in it. Who will tell you, no, now it's normal. Uh-oh. You're becoming a big boy now. You're discovering who you are. No, that's a lie from the pit of hell. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting what I'm saying? As young people who love God, kill those thoughts when they come. Kill fornication. It comes as a thought, first of all. It comes as a thought. I've always shared with the expression house, it takes a lot. It takes a lot for a believer to commit fornication. It takes a lot from you. It takes a lot of planning. You plan first. You plan. Where are we going to do it? Venue. What time? And we got to be sure that nobody sees you when you are coming to where I am. A lot of planning. It can take a month to get it done once. Imagine all the energy we are putting into that. If we put all of that energy into building up ourselves on our most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, our lives will be 1,000 times better. Our minds will be 1,000 times sharper. How many of you know that speaking in tongues actually helps your mind? It does. If you don't know, it actually does help your mind. Even though your mind is not involved when you are praying in tongues, because it is your spirit that is praying, your mind is sharpened when you pray a lot in the Holy Ghost. Thoughts, insights, ideas, concepts will flow. Try it. Do 1 hour every day. And be consistent. I know some of you do 5 minutes, you do 10 minutes, 15 minutes, jack it up to 1 hour. Say, Lord, I'm going to lock myself up. And when you start it, it's never easy. You pray 7 minutes, you think you have prayed 45 minutes. Rakata yalaba, bukata, bu, 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 raba, rebo, riba, akaga, akaga, akaga. Then you check the time. 7 minutes, oh my God. Have you been there before? But you know what? Don't give up. Keep at it, young man. Keep at it, keep at it, keep at it. That most difficult course in your faculty, the Holy Spirit can explain it to you. I've been there. In, I think 2006, 2005, thereabout, I took a course called Microsoft Visual Basic.net, VB.net. It was like German. And my lecturer was a foreign lecturer. And he would say, it was programming. It's a programming language. Dim name as string. Dim salary as integer. Dim, you know, those things are programming terms. And the first 3 months, money was going down the drain because I didn't understand what the guy was saying. And we're going to pay in pounds. I said, Lord, is this how we waste money for 1 year? Because every time I sat in the class, the guy was talking above my head. So I went back to my scriptures. I found Job 32 and verse 8. It says, but there is a spirit in man. Somebody said, there's a spirit in me. And the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Say, the inspiration of the Holy Spirit gives me understanding. When you pray long enough in the Holy Ghost, you'll be inspired. I stood on this scripture. I took my time to pray, quality time every day in the Holy Ghost. At the end of that year, the guy said, look, Mr. Fred, you're my best. I became his star student. In fact, I became an assistant lecturer under him, lecturing my mates. I stand before God, I line up. I made a distinction in a program of 1 year that started as though I didn't even know where I was. Tell me what the Holy Ghost cannot teach you. Jesus spoke about him in John 14, 23, 24. He spoke about him in John 16, 13. He will come, is the comforter. And part of his ministry is the teaching ministry. He will teach you. He will teach you all things. Hey, young ladies, one of the lies they tell you is, if you don't do it now, when you get married, your husband will be the one teaching you how to do it. How to do what? How to have sex. Don't worry, let him teach me. The Holy Ghost will teach us. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
Maintain your virginity. As a guy, maintain your virginity. When you get married, the Holy Ghost will teach you. The Holy Ghost will teach you. Who taught you how to lie as a child? Who taught you? The world, Satan, people, environment, everything taught you. Nobody really sat you down to say, this is, when you want to lie, this is how to lie. You just lied. Where are you coming from? I was coming from. So when I was coming, so the coming now broke into two. So the road broke. And where are you coming from, young man? If the devil can teach you those mundane things, the Holy Ghost can teach you holy things. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
So don't try to experiment now. Don't get yourself exposed to HIV. Don't get yourself exposed to all kind of evil. Don't. It starts as a thought. It starts as a thought. And I'm blessing you as I'm closing. I'm blessing you with this thought that look. The moment you incapacitate the thought, the action will never see the light of day. But if you entertain the thought, the action will follow. I give you scriptures. James 1, 14 to 15. Quickly on the screen. Quickly, please. I need to wrap this up. James 1, 14 to 15. Is somebody getting blessed today? Are you glad you're in church this morning? Now, I want you to meditate on this when you get home. James 1, 14 to 15. It said, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Drawn away. Nobody's wearing a long tie this morning. How come? Protocol, make sure you wear tie. Nobody's wearing a long tie. Anybody wearing a long tie? Okay, but so let me look at me, everybody. I want to do an imaginary tie. Imagine somebody's wearing a tie, a long tie, a necktie, and then I hold them by the tie. You know, the person will have to follow me. Now, young men, don't fight. Boys, can I talk to my baritone guys? Those of you whose voices have broken. and some that are still breaking. Sometimes we like to engage. But the day you're wearing the tie, please don't fight anybody. Don't fight at all. But if you have to fight, don't wear a tie. Because if they grab that tie, you are powerless. All they need to do is hold it. Just beg. It's all right, please. So the person doesn't get you killed. Imagine me holding onto someone's tie. And I say, follow me. As I say, follow me, they will follow. And I draw them. And I draw them. I say, hey, everybody, look at your class captain. Is he not an idiot? You will say, yes, yes. Please, I know, I believe. Because the guy is helpless. The Bible says, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. He's drawn away of his own lust. Drawn away. You can see the drawing away. Now, of his own lust. What is his own lust? It means that everybody has their own lust. Their own personal lust. What is a lust? A lust is not a sin. A lust simply means a strong desire. Somebody say strong desire. And where is your strong desire? Thoughts. For some people, it's money. They can't take away their eyes from money. They don't do women. They don't do drugs. They don't do alcohol. No. But money. Money cannot mistakenly pass them by. They will partake of it. Money. Free money especially. Money. For some people, it's nice cars. Oh. When I see a nice car like this, the guy should just say, I will ask him out. A nice car. Oh. As if their life depends on the car. Now, and for guys, you know, different things, different statistics. You know, maybe she's fair. Oh, Holy Spirit, help me. You might be a devil, but just because you're pooper, you're fair skinned. For some people, it's the guy is TDH. Tall. And then it's dark. It's not dark. Don't be speaking Nigerian English here. Dark. Someone said dark. Uh-huh. And handsome. Oh. It might be a devil, it doesn't matter, but it's TDH. They're all lost. A lady said if she sees the singlet, the underwear of a man, the singlet, she's all messed up. That's it. It will amaze you what everybody like. I listened to an elderly couple some time ago. The woman is a professor, retired professor in UI. The husband, an architect. In their 80s, they mentor people around, marriages. This, in our church, the woman said, it will amaze you. So many people were coming to me because when she was a young lady, she was tall and big. She's still big. She's still tall. But you could imagine what she looked like as a sissy, S-I-S-I. What's the English word for sissy? As a young lady, right? She said many guys came, but I didn't even look at them. So we asked her, what actually attracted you to your husband? She gave us an answer that we're still grappling with. His toes. Toes? Nobody does toes. But she said, it was my point of attraction. Every time he wore Pam slippers, I was like, oh my God. Man crush Monday. Listen, everybody has their own. Listen to me. Everybody has their own brand of lust. Their own brand of lust. But you see where lust becomes a problem. And I'm talking to all of you, including the teenagers that are here. Because at some point, you get into adolescence and you begin to discover yourself and all of that. And I'm grateful to God you are worshiping with us at such a time as this. You are going to be with us for 2 weeks or 3 weeks. So I'm going to drive this home. You begin to become self-aware. Be careful. It is not every emotion that comes up that you must entertain, that you must nourish. If you nourish it, it will lead you to sin. That we are sexual beings is not a sin. That you are a man, you like a woman, you're a woman, you like a man, it's not a sin. God made us that way. How did we all get here? If somebody didn't like somebody, did you fall from mango trees? Somebody likes somebody and talk to somebody and, you know, and then you're here. Glory to God. But don't get to that point where all your actions and everything you do is motivated by lust. See shape. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. If you see shape and you meditate on shape, you will follow shape and you will marry shape. Oh, and your life will be shaped by shape. Be led by the Spirit of God. Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? They are what? So I'm talking to you young men, be careful. And I'm talking to you young ladies, be careful. Everybody has their brand of lust, but this is what you do. Holy Spirit, help me. Help me to turn my weakness into strength. Help me to master this lust. Don't let it master me, because if it becomes your master, it's a terrible thing. It's like money. Money is a good servant, but if he becomes your master, it's a terrible thing. That's why one Nigerian politician will steal billions that he can't spend in a lifetime. He's mad. Really mad. The mad stockpile wealth, they don't know who will spend it. When it's drawn away, put that scripture on the screen. I didn't ask you to take it out. Put it on the screen for me. James 1:14. When he's drawn away of his own lust, and then he's enticed. James, J-A-E-J-A-M-E-S. When he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. One of my favorite young ladies. We talk once in a while. She was explaining a concept to me, I think last week or 2 weeks ago. The concept of mind travel. I'm sure some of you guys know about out of the body experience. Ewanimi, you know. Out of the body experience. And I sat down to listen to her because I love to learn from people. And she said, there are some young people, Fashi knew one of them, a man, who would travel outside of his body to go and have sex with some imaginary personality. So it could be Kim Kardashian, for example. Like, okay, so tomorrow is Kim Kardashian. Another day is another person. And we could have that in church, where a brother is lusting after his sister, and then on his bed is imagining that the lady comes to him and imagining that they are doing stuff together. And young people in the world think that they have discovered something. You have discovered nothing. This is what you have discovered. That every man is tempted when he is drawn away. When you travel outside of your body, it's in your mind though, you know. You are drawn away. That's the travel. You have traveled abroad. Even though you're in your room, but you have traveled very far. Okay? You are drawn away, and then of your own lust, and then you are enticed. You enjoy what you are doing. Then I asked her a question. I said, does that young man make money in that realm? And you know, for the young people who do that, oh yes, they are very rich in their own mind. They are rich in that realm. They have billions of dollars. But in real life, they are very broke. You can't live that kind of lifestyle and not be broke, because you don't go to work. When your mates are going to work, 10 a.m., you are still sleeping because you are traveling in your mind to go and enjoy yourself. It is not new. Your generation may call it a new name. The Bible, as old as it is, has said it, that a man is tempted. You are in temptation. When you are drawn away of your own lust and you are enticed. Now, you see the problem that will give birth to? Go to the next verse. Verse 15. This is it. Very simple. Very simple.
Young people, please be careful. Don't sleep with all the girls in the church. In your mind. And assume you will come to God and lift up holy hands. Your thoughts are viewed by God as your words yet to be spoken. So your thoughts are as loud as your words before God. There was a young man in the Bible, a rich man, the rich fool, Luke chapter 12, whose field brought forth plentifully. Don't go there. Just leave this scripture on the screen for me. Thank you, media. And he said to himself, do you know the man never spoke? He thought, the Bible says, he thought within himself, saying, now I have a plentiful harvest. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pull down my barns, my storage. I'm going to pull down my storage. I'm going to build bigger storage. I'm going to put my stuff there. And I'm going to have a whole lot to spend for the rest of my years. And I'm not going to work anymore. And I'm going to say to myself, hey, soul, you got a lot of money. You got a lot of stuff. Enjoy yourself. Take it easy. And God responded. God said, you fool. Tonight, your soul will be required of you. Who will have those things? Who will enjoy them? That man never spoke a word with his mouth. He only thought within himself, saying, listen to me, church. Your thoughts are always saying something to God. God can hear your thoughts as much as he can hear your words. Are you with me, church? As a matter of fact, what are words? Words are only containers. They are containers of thoughts. How do you know what I'm thinking about you? Unless I tell you. You might think I'm falling in love with you and I'm looking for how to kill you. You know people that kill people don't do like they're really going to kill them. They feed them, give them the best meal, make them feel comfortable, and they put poison in the food. Oh, come on, enjoy yourself. Ask Miss Delilah and Brother Samson. Did Miss Delilah come as someone, as an assassin? No, she didn't. She came as a beautiful girl. Oh, Samson, you're just a powerful guy, you know. Nobody even knows how to tame you. Oh, follow me, Joe. And the guy followed. Yeah. And they went in. The Bible didn't even say that they had sex. Read the book of Judges. The Bible never said there was sex between Samson and Delilah. The closest the Bible told us was that Samson put his head on her laps. But no, it's a dangerous place to put your head. And she's running her finger down your skull and you're feeling cool like a big boy. And you're smiling sheepishly like a sheep. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Oh, come on. Oh, touch that area. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's where the stress is. Oh, that's my boss. God punish him. He stressed me today. And Delilah was asking him questions about his very secret. Some of you think that Samson was a huge guy from Bible stories, Abby. Powerful, muscular. He showed up in town, everybody ran away. No, you are wrong. Samson was like me. He didn't go to gym. My son has been trying to get me to go to gym. I said, don't worry. Don't joke with your school fees. Praise God. Daddy, you got to have six packs. Six packs? I don't know how to do that. And my daughter, oh, that baby girl, you know, daddy, you know, oh, daddy got to pay. Daddy got bills to pay. And my way of, you know, explaining it away is how many billionaires go to gym Monday morning, 9 a.m.? Abba. But it's good to go to gym, actually. Samson didn't go to gym. Samson didn't look muscular. He wasn't big and tall. He wasn't. He was an ordinary guy. That was the more reason they were confused as to what was the secret of his strength. How come? This guy! 1,000 of them came at him one time. Let's finish him. And with the jawbone of an ass, not inter-ballistic squad missile, the jawbone of an ass, not a bomb, the jawbone of an animal, jawbone. He killed 1,000 soldiers. Who does that? Because he was helped by the Holy Spirit. He had 7 locks on his head, a point of contact to the spirit realm. The first time the woman asked him the secret of his strength, he lied to her, and she told the guys, and they came, and they did it, and they failed. He just beat them up. She came again. You lied to me. You lied to me. You're a liar. You're a liar. And the guy became an idiot. Oh, you know how men become, intelligent men become idiots sometimes. You know, I'm sorry, baby. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was not in a good mood that day. Okay, so this is the secret of my power. Why did they want to know the secret? Look, listen, listen, listen. If you want to fight someone, you look at them, first of all. This guy is tall, he's huge, his chest is like Olumarok. Would you go and be asking what's the secret of his power? Have you seen, you know Kiss Daniel? I know you were in church, you know Kiss Daniel. Can I have an amen? I know you know Kiss Daniel, brother Kiss Daniel. Amen. You know his bodyguard. Will you go and meet that kind of guy and say, hey man, what's the secret of your power? No, you can't. The power is speaking already. He shows up and you behave yourself. If such a guy slaps your sister comes home crying, hey, bro, come and beat that guy, come and beat him. Somebody slap me, say, hey, who slapped my sister? Then you follow. And then you see the guy. He said, bros, she's your sister. Thank you for slapping her. Her mouth is not very good. God bless you. We'll see you again. Your sister will come. Are you mad? I said, you should beat him, beat him. Beat him, oh yeah, beat him. Yeah, he said, beat who? You can't ask for the obvious. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can say, obviously, this guy, you guys say, Demure. It's Demurely. But Samson was not like that. That was why they were asking for the secret of his power. He looked ordinary. But there must be a secret to his power. Until he revealed all his heart. Because he was enticed. He was drawn away of his own lust. And he got to a point where he was enticed. He never checked the thoughts running through his mind. He was a man of God. He was a mighty man. He made it to the gallery of faith in Hebrews 11. Samson was a man of God. Samson was a man of prayer. He finished, when he killed 1,000 Philistines, he now was thirsty and then he needed water. Samson got water by prayer. How many of us have any results in our lives? By prayer. Not by connection. Not by sleeping with the lecturer. By prayer. Samson got water by prayer. He prayed to God. God opened up water for him. He named that place En Hakore, which is still in Lehi till today. En Hakore, meaning the stream of him that prayed. If Samson could pray and water came out, you can pray and have results. Can I have an amen? Yes. He operated under the old covenant. We are operating under the new covenant. You know the problem with lust? This is where I close. This is the problem with lust. Verse 15. So when lust has conceived, Tobatiloyun conceived, it brings forth, it will give birth to sin. So you need to kill lust so it doesn't give birth to sin. Are you getting what I'm saying? And when sin is finished, what does it mean finished? Grown up, mature, it brings forth death. Because the wages of sin is still death, but the gift of God is still eternal life. Can I have an amen to that? I pray for you, young people. The grace, the strength to kill sinful thoughts when they prop up, may you receive in the name of Jesus. Many who would have been mighty vessels in the hands of God today have gone down 6 feet down the grave because of one weakness or the other. Many who would have been used mightily of God today have become derelicts, mediocres, non-entities. Were they called? Yes. Were they anointed? Yes. Saul died, David said. Saul died as if he was not even anointed. May you not die like that. Church, I'm not going to go to my next point. I'll go to my next point next Sunday. I don't want to take time beyond now. I have 1 minute, 11 seconds to go. If you succeed in killing the thoughts, the action will never happen. But if you entertain the thought, the action will follow suit. People don't just act. They have thought about it, first of all. This week, I give you a challenge. Make a deliberate attempt to record your thoughts. Pay attention to your thoughts. Don't be like the ungodly. The ungodly don't entertain God in their thoughts. Psalm 10 and verse 4. Up on the screen, Psalm 10, the book of Psalms, chapter 10 and verse 4. The ungodly don't think about God. They don't entertain God in their thoughts. They plan. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. You know why? God is not in all his thoughts. May God be in your thought this week. Think about God. Think God. Think about Jesus. Before you tell that lie, think, what would Jesus do in this situation? What would Jesus say in this situation? When you are presented a cheap offer to commit sin or to get tempted, ask yourself, what would Jesus do in this situation? Even if it's an offer for promotion, but it's sinful, ask yourself, what would Jesus do in this situation? Because dominion begins from here. If you can exercise dominion over your thoughts, you can have dominion in life. It all starts from here. You are not a failure, remember. You are not a non-entity, remember. You may be going through hard times right now, but I pray for you. You are going to come out of it in the name of Jesus. Give me Philippians 4:8 and we close. Philippians 4:8, everybody upstanding, and then we read it together. Philippians 4:8. Glory be to God. Have you learned something today? Do you have something to work with for the week? Philippians 4:8. Every thought that comes this week, this is the test you must subject it to. In chemistry, when you want to know that a substance is an acid, you take it through the litmus test, the litmus paper. The blue turns what? Red. Then you know this is an acid. If red turns blue, then that's what? That's a base. Thoughts are going to come. Even as I'm talking to you right now and after this service, but this is going to be your litmus test for every thought that comes. You will ask yourself. Let's read it together, first of all. One, two, go, everybody. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So a thought comes to you to never forgive a particular person. Or a thought comes to you to take something that doesn't belong to you, even though nobody will find out. So you ask yourself. Or a thought comes to you and says, nobody loves you. As a matter of fact, this week, you should just go and commit suicide. End it so that you can have peace. A young man called me 3 years ago, barely 3 years ago. On a Thursday afternoon, I was preparing for Bible study. I said, see me on Monday. The Sunday before the Monday, his cousin came here and said, Smith committed suicide on Friday. We had an appointment for Monday. He committed suicide on Friday. He called me on Thursday. I said, what happened to him? He was in a relationship. A relationship. And the lady was cheating, and he couldn't handle it. And the lady was a Muslim. He was a Muslim. He became born again. He came to this church for a while. He left, went back to Islam, and then went to marry someone. And the day he committed suicide, he boiled rice. He ate it. He made a video of how he was eating the rice, and he played music, and he was dancing. And after that, he did hang himself. They didn't find out in about 2-3 days when the whole house was smelling. Started as a thought. Nobody likes you. Nobody loves you. You even called Pastor Fred. He didn't give you an instant appointment. He said, come on Monday. You can't control my life. I have things to do with my life. Church, I have a life also. I have a family. I have plans. I can't control your life. You have things you want to do. I can tell you, see me on Monday and say, Pastor, I'm sorry, I'm out of town. I wouldn't fight you because of that. You have to go to work. Yeshua, you're writing MBA exams, for example, and the day you're writing your final MBA in UCH to qualify as a doctor, I said, come and see me. Come and tell UCH your pastor wants to see you. What kind of pastor is that? Be strong in the Lord. Listen to me, young people. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The day a thought comes, your best friend might not be available to counsel you. All of you that are always looking for people to counsel, counsel me, I'm depressed. Any little thing, I'm depressed. Wake up and grow up in the name of Jesus. You're a child of the Most High God. Depression has no room. Depression has no room upstairs. Can I have an amen? Nobody should ever kill himself or herself in this church. Nobody, ever. His friends started lampooning him on Facebook. Smith, now we hope that you have found the peace you were looking for. Now, I hope you are happy. Finally, Shebi, you've gone. He killed himself. His mother is still alive. His younger brother is still alive. The girl that was doing whatever is still alive. Banks are still operating. ShopRite is still opening. People are still eating pizza. If you kill yourself, life will go on. No pastor tells you that. I will tell you the truth. So don't kill yourself. No matter what thought comes to your head, subject it to this test. Nobody likes you. Ewa, you are beautiful, but nobody likes you in the expression house. They don't like you at all. Now, this is what to ask yourself. Because Satan can bring that thought. Some people have left the church because they feel Pastor Fred doesn't like them. Ask yourself, is it true? Church, if a thought comes to you now, nobody likes you. Nobody likes you. Is it true? Is it true? Is it true? Even those of you that don't behave well, there's still somebody that at least your mom likes you. At least. So, you should kill yourself because you have no value. Is it true? Come on, talk to me, church. Are you of no value? Is it honest? Is it just? Is it pure that you have no value? Is it lovely that nobody likes you and you have no value? Is it of a good report? Does it have any virtue? Is there any praise in it? So what do you do? Slap it down. What did I say? As you step out tomorrow and that thought comes to you, nobody's going to help you. Say, hey, what did you say, Satan? What did you say? Say it again. Say it again. I said, nobody likes you. Nobody's going to help you. Slap it down. As you're looking for money for that project now, nobody's going to help you. Say, what did you say? Slap it down. As you're going to Lagos now, you know you may have an accident and you will just, what did you say? Because it doesn't pass this test. You are blessed and highly favored. You are marvelously helped of God. God is coming through for you this week. Your life will never be the same again. You will go from strength to strength. Three people said amen, Lord. You will go from glory to glory. The Lord will lift up the light of his countenance upon you. And it shall be well with your soul. It shall be well with your body. It shall be well with your spirit. It shall be well with your parents. It shall be well with your family. It shall be well with your guardians. It shall be well with your finances. It shall be well with your health. It shall be well with your academics. It shall be well with your finances. It shall be well with your business. It shall be well with your career. It shall be well with everything that has to do with you. In the name of Jesus! I decree and declare from today you begin to walk in dominion. You walk in the power of the Spirit. Oh, come on. Three people said amen, Lord. You will walk in the power of the Spirit. Everywhere you go, you carry the presence of God there. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands and give him thanks. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Put down your hands. Is there anybody here this morning that would like to give his heart or her heart to Jesus? You want me to pray with you? Maybe you're struggling with any of these issues and you want me to pray with you very quickly. I'm going to pray.